Tune. In diesem Podcast geht es um Musikerinnen und Musiker mit Haltung. Diesmal zum ersten Mal in voller Länge. Bei dieser Premiere stelle ich euch die britische Band The Levellers vor. Vielleicht kennt ja der eine oder andere diesen Song von ihnen. Das ist einer der größten Hits der Band, One Way, geschrieben von Mark Chadwick, Jeremy Cunningham, Jolly Heather, Jonathan Savink und Simon Friend. Erschien bei China Records im Jahr 1991, später dann Warner Brothers. Die Songrechte liegen bei Universal Music. Auf die gerade gehörte Textzeile werde ich später nochmal eingehen. All the problems of the world won't be solved by this guitar. Sie stammt von Jess Cunningham, der ist Bassist, Textschreiber der Band und Designer und Künstler. Er beantwortet mir in der nächsten Dreiviertelstunde viele Fragen, unter anderem auch die Haltungsfrage. Was ist die Haltung von den Levellers? Wie sehen Sie das?
You know, we can't change the world, but you can. You know, if there's enough of you, enough of us, things will change, things can change. But they won't change just by you listening to the Levellers. That won't change anything. It'll just make us a bit richer, thank you very much. But if you want to change the world, you've got to get out there and do it, and do it yourself. And if our music makes that more comforting, then all that would make us very happy.
Jeder kann's machen, also wie auch die Levellers. Eine Indie-Folk-Band aus der Stadt Brighton. Das liegt im Süden von England an der Küste. Die Band hat da ein eigenes Haus, einen eigenen Proberaum, ein eigenes Label, ein eigenes Studio, eine eigene Bar und so weiter. DIY halt, do it yourself. Alles selber machen. Und dann haben sie auch noch was anderes selbst auf die Beine gestellt. Keine andere Band hat das bisher so geschafft.
Mark was going, I think he'd been saying it for a while, like we should just do our own festival. You know, because we've done all these festivals, we know how to do it. And I thought he was crazy. I just went, no, that's fucking crazy, man. But I didn't say anything. You know, I let him carry on talking because I could tell he was into it. But in my head, I thought he was absolutely crazy and it would never happen.
But it happened. Seit 17 Jahren veranstaltet die Band ein eigenes Festival. Ohne Sponsoring, familienfreundlich, genau wie gewünscht von Sänger Mark und von den anderen Bandmitgliedern auch.
If it hadn't have sold out the first year, we would have lost everything. So it was a big gamble. But luckily it paid off.
Bisher war es jedes Mal ausverkauft. Wie haben Sie das geschafft? Was hat Sie ermutigt? Was ist das für eine Band? Wie sind Sie drauf, die alles am liebsten selber macht? Um da schlauer zu werden, habe ich mich verabredet mit Jess über die Presseabteilung der Band vor einem Auftritt in München. Zum 30-jährigen Jubiläum touren die Jungs durch Europa. Seit 30 Jahren gibt es die Band nämlich schon und zumindest Bassist Jess hat seinen Look kaum verändert. Er trug damals schon meterlange Dreadlocks, trägt sie auch heute noch. Seine stilprägende Nase, sein verschmitztes Lächeln kann er aber auch heute damit nicht verbergen. Als ich als Journalist wegen eines Interviews angefragt hatte, hätte ich auch damit rechnen können, dass Jess auf Journalist nicht gut zu sprechen ist. Oder besser war. In den Anfangsjahren der Levellers ist die Band von der Musikpresse schlicht ignoriert worden. Den Erfolg, den sie in den 90ern hatten, haben sie sich selbst erarbeitet. Mund-zu-Mund-Propaganda viral? Fragezeichen. Anyway, irgendwie haben sie es am Ende geschafft, gehört zu werden, was irgendwann auch mal ein recht bekannter Musikjournalist von der Zeitschrift NME zur Kenntnis nahm. Was hat er gemacht? Er schrieb einen Artikel und verriss eines der Levellers-Alben. Jess wollte das so nicht hinnehmen und schickte ihm persönlich einen Schuhkarton gefüllt mit Fäkalien. Ich spreche ihn drauf an. Zu Beginn unseres Gesprächs, die Zeiten seien vorbei, meint er.
I'm hoping those days are over. I don't think I'll do that again. And he did it the once.
Was it a mistake, you think? Or?
No, it wasn't a mistake. It's just, I was younger then. I'm older now. I wouldn't do that kind of thing now. No.
Ich hätte gern gewusst, wie die Stimmung war, die Atmosphäre damals in den Gründerjahren der Levellers in ihrem Heimatland. Ende der 80er, Anfang der 90er. Das war die Zeit der Wende, Auflösung des Ostblocks und in Großbritannien bis 90 die letzten Jahre der Thatcher-Ära, was da alles stattfand. Staatsunternehmen wurden privatisiert, der Thatcherismus machte sich breit, der Arbeitsmarkt sollte sich selber regeln, soziale Ungleichheit wird einfach so hingenommen, wie sie ist, jeder war für sich selbst verantwortlich. Und es gab Gewalt in der Thatcher-Zeit. Die Miners, die Bergarbeiter revoltierten Oder auch die IRA aus Nordirland. Die verübte 1984 einen Anschlag auf einem Parteitag der Tories in Brighton mit 5 Toten. Thatcher hätte es erwischen sollen, die kam aber davon. Ende der 80er, Brighton, nicht verwunderlich, dass dort zu der Zeit die Levelers entstanden sind, die das Ganze ändern wollten.
Politically, it was, you know, it's the days of Margaret Thatcher, conservative, you know, very right wing. And we were like all the future members of the Levelers all used to drink in the same pub, which is the only pub, or one of the only pubs that would let us in. Because we were like outsiders, you know. We were left wing, very left wing for a start, in what was a right wing country. And this bar that we used to drink in was also like a punk rock kind of bar, you know. Anyway, I met Mark in there. Mark's the lead singer. I met him in there because I was trying to pull his girlfriend, basically. And I had just come back from Morocco. I'd been staying in Morocco for a few months. I came back and the place I was living in, which I was living in a squat, and it had just gone, it just disappeared, you know. So I managed to find some of the people that I'd been living with, and they'd saved my guitar for me. So I had a guitar and a few clothes, and that was it, but I didn't have anything else. And I was like, oh, fuck this, I can't be doing with music anymore. I'm sick of playing music because no one's saying anything relevant, you know. So anyway, I was in this bar with my guitar trying to seduce Mark's girlfriend. When he arrives, he turns up and I'm like, oh shit, he's like loads better looking than me. I don't stand a chance here. And so, but anyway, we ended up talking and got on really well, and I knew him a bit from around towns. So I knew he played guitar and I knew he could sing a bit. And I was trying to sell him my guitar. I was trying to sell him my bass guitars, but he didn't have any money. And because none of us had any money. And then the more we got talking, you know, and I said, oh, well, I write some lyrics, you know, but I can't sing. And he was like, well, why don't we kind of just get together and have a bit of a jam, you know, because we were both sick of playing in bands. We'd both played in bands before, and we were just sick of it because they weren't saying anything, and the country, as we saw it, was falling apart. And so, yeah, he came up to where I was staying the next day, played me one of his songs, and I went, oh, yeah, I can relate to that. And then I had some lyrics I'd written, and I gave him them. And then I think we probably wrote our first song together that same day, really. And that's pretty much it. That was how it started.
Ich habe Jess gefragt, wie die Stimmung damals in Großbritannien beschreiben würde.
If you're a free thinker, it was oppressive. And we were very three free thinking. So
how did you realize it?
Yeah. Oh, we'd known that for years. You know, because things were just coming on top, you know. And it wasn't that long after. It was only a few years after the IRA had bombed the Tory party conference in Brighton. And so... Brighton was a particular black spot on the map as far as the Tories were concerned. They hated it, you know. So, whenever they decided to come to town, things got really oppressive. And, yeah, it was just, yeah, it was dark, dark days.
Dark days, oder vielleicht auch neoliberale Tage in Großbritannien. Ich gehe mal davon aus, dass ihr noch nie was vom Enterprise Allowance Scheme gehört habt. Ich erkläre es kurz. Die Regierung Thatcher wollte damit Anfang der 80er Jahre die Massenarbeitslosigkeit bekämpfen. Arbeitslose wurden umgewandelt in selbstständige Unternehmer. Man kann auch sagen, dass sie damit quasi neoliberalisiert wurden. War anscheinend nicht so erfolgreich wie gewünscht. Viele solcher staatlich subventionierten Klein- oder Ein-Mann-Betriebe sind gescheitert. Anders bei den Levelers. Richtig gehört, die Levelers wurden vom Staat gefördert. Genau von der Regierung, auf die sie überhaupt nicht gut zu sprechen waren.
Well, we were all claiming benefit. We were all claiming state benefit. Which is much harder now. In those days it was easier. And then, but by this, by, you know, the band very quickly started to tour quite a lot. play out of town, and so we weren't always there to claim our benefit. So we had to fill in like lots of holiday forms and stuff like that to keep receiving benefits. And we hated it anyway, because most of our songs were slagging off the government, but here we are being funded by them, you know, effectively. And so as soon as we could, yeah, we got on this thing called the Enterprise Allowance Scheme, which was a way of, it was just a way of trying to get people back into work and set up their own business. And so we set up in business as levelers, basically, and called it On the Fiddle, which we still call ourselves, you know, which in British means basically to rip someone off. It's slang, you know. If you're on the fiddle, it means you're going to rip someone off, you know. So that was the meaning behind it. And yeah, we all went on this enterprise allowance scheme, which gave us about 2 years worth of being able to play all over the country, and getting our income supplemented by the state. Until we could make enough money to sign off completely to just live on our own musical income.
On the Fiddle, das ist der Name des Labels, das der Band gehört. Anfang der 90er gegründet, ja, ihre Musik wollten sie halt lieber selbst vermarkten. DIY, do-it-yourself, auch damals schon. Auch wenn sie später mal für ein paar Jahre zu den Majors abgewandert sind, On the Fiddle wurde nie aufgelöst und wurde, wie eben gehört, gefördert vom Staat. Was heißt denn eigentlich On the Fiddle auf Deutsch? Bei thefreedictionary.com heißt die Erklärung für die Redewendung On the Fiddle so: If someone is on the fiddle, they get money by doing illegal or dishonest things. Übersetzt, das sind schlicht und einfach Betrüger.
Would you say you had some kind of political message at that time?
Well, it's always the same. It's always been think for yourself. That's what we've always said. We still say it now. Don't trust anyone. Think for yourself. Don't even trust us, you know, think about what we're saying, you know. It's like, it's always down to the individual. You know, we can't change the world, but you can. You know, if there's enough of you, enough of us, things will change, things can change. But they won't change just by you listening to the levelers. That won't change anything. It'll just make us a bit richer, thank you very much. But if you want to change the world, you've got to get out there and do it yourself. And if our music makes that more comforting, then all that would make us very happy.
Die Levelers nahmen also den neoliberalen Zeitgeist beim Wort und deuteten ihn gleichzeitig um. Sie wurden selbst Unternehmer und retteten sich selbst mit einer Message: Wenn ihr das System ändern wollt, dann macht es halt. Jeder Einzelne kann es tun.
Would you say you always stick to this message that you had in the beginning?
Yeah.
Did nothing change in the 30 years that we celebrate today?
No. Not as far as that's concerned, no. Little things change, but never that. That's always, you know, we still do the DIY, you know, we still run our own record label, do everything ourselves, you know. We all do two or three different jobs within the band. You know, for me, for instance, I write a third of the lyrics and I do all of the artwork. And then I'm in the band, and various others, people, you know, have other jobs in the band as well, you know.
In Großbritannien sind die Levelers auch heute noch bekannter als bei uns in Deutschland, wobei ihre größten Erfolge die meistverkauften Alben und die größten Festivals in den 90ern lagen. Glastonbury zum Beispiel, eins der Mega-Events. Zum Vergleich wie Rock im Park und am Ring in einer Location. Da waren sie Headliner und spielten vor satten 80.000 Leuten. Wow. Trauert Jazz diesen Zeiten nach?
Yeah, it's all right. It's just one of the, you know, it's like looking back on it, it's... We go out and do a gig, whatever it's like, basically. If it's a massive festival and we're on last, or if it's a small festival and we're on first, we'll go out and play the same show as far as we can. And it's never really bothered us, you know, because we've always, from the band, how the band works is we all get paid the same. Everyone gets an equal split. And we take a wage, basically, so it doesn't depend, our income doesn't depend on us playing big festivals or small gigs or whatever. It all goes, every penny we make all goes into a big central fund, and then we take a weekly, monthly wage out of that. So that's what keeps us going. So we don't really care if we're doing a big show or a small show. We all get paid the same anyway, you know, and... And as artists, we want to make the show as good as we possibly can, whether it's a big one or a small one. You know, if it's a big one, we need to bring in extra stuff, but that's about the only difference.
Eine Band als Genossenschaft. Aber die Big Ones, die großen Festivals, hatten damals für die Levelers einen, ja, unangenehmen Beigeschmack. Irgendwann waren die Big Ones für sie manchmal einfach too big.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was nervous. Yeah, I mean, it fucked me up, really, the playing the really big stuff. I mean, I couldn't handle it at all. You know, I got very nervous and very, you know, and I couldn't understand why all these people were just coming up to me all the time going, oh, yeah, it's brilliant, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't the best of times.
Das Musikgeschäft ist ein Geschäft wie jedes andere auch. Das lernten sie bald. Der Markt bestimmt. Aber nicht mit uns, dachten die Levelers und machten ihre eigenen Regeln. DIY, siehe oben. Deshalb hat die Band auf bestimmten Festivals dann gar nicht gespielt, obwohl sie angefragt wurden. Sie wollten einfach nicht. Einmal soll ihnen eine ordentliche Summe geboten worden sein, aber die Band sagte, nee, ist nicht.
Yeah, just because we didn't like the festival.
Which one was it?
I'm not going to tell you. Okay. I'm going to be political on that. But it's a big British festival. And and we kept saying no, and they just thought we wanted more money, which we actually just meant no. You know, so we didn't do it.
Eine Gage von 25.000 Pfund und die Levelers lehnten den Deal ab? Nee, die haben sich einfach nicht kaufen lassen. Zu dieser Zeit fand dann noch was anderes statt.
How did you get the idea, and who got the idea, the first idea, to found your own festival?
That was Mark, our singer. Uh-huh. We basically did a big festival in the UK, which isn't going anymore, and it was just fucking awful. It was terrible. Just really treating the audience really badly, you know. And we were sitting backstage, and we were going, oh, fuck, you know, we've ended up being a part of this, you know, we should have checked this more. Because now it makes us look bad as well. And then Mark was going, I think he'd been saying it for a while, like we should just do our own festival. You know, because we've done all these festivals, we know how to do it. And I thought he was crazy. I just went, no, that's fucking crazy, man. But I didn't say anything. You know, I let him carry on talking because I could tell he was into it. But in my head, I thought he was absolutely crazy and it would never happen. But over the next couple of years, he did a bit of research. It's basically him that made it happen. You know, it was all kind of his idea, and the rest of us kind of jumped on the back of it. And luckily for us, it ended up well. But it took everything we got. We had to mortgage everything we had to set up that festival. And if it hadn't have sold out the first year, we would have lost everything. So it was a big gamble, but luckily it paid off.
Was there a discussion in the band if you should take that risk?
No, we all wanted to take the risk. Yeah, there wasn't any discussion about it. We all knew that we wanted to do it.
Seit 17 Jahren gibt es jetzt das Beautiful Days Festival. Das findet im August statt, im Örtchen Devon in Cornwall. Und hier bestimmen die Levelers selbst, was da läuft. Nicht die großen Konzertgurus à la Lieberberg und so. Hier gibt es, wie erwähnt, kein Sponsoring, keine Bühnen, die von Werbebannern zugepflastert sind. Das ist ein total familienfreundliches Festival mit bezahlbaren Eintrittspreisen und mit Top-Bands wie Primal Scream, The Pogues, Suzanne Vega, Therapy, Fairport Convention. 2019 sind Skunky Nancy und Ziggy Marley die Headliner. Auch die Levelers spielen jedes Mal meist zweimal, einmal akustisch, einmal im normalen Setup. Ein Haufen Musiker, die ein Festival gründen, organisieren, managen und logistisch durchführen, passt das alles zusammen? Kann sowas gut gehen?
How did you have the experience how to manage such a festival?
Just because we've done so many festivals and we grew up, basically, you know, the Levelers as a band, we grew up on the UK underground festival circuit, free festivals. You know, with travelers and people living in buses and stuff, going from one to another.
Die Travelers und die Levelers. Auch das ist ein spannendes Kapitel in der Geschichte dieser Band. Travelers nennt man eine Gruppe von Menschen in Großbritannien und Irland, die eine etwas andere Sprache sprechen, die ihren eigenen Regeln folgen, nirgendwo richtig wohnen, deswegen der Name Travelers, die Reisenden. Manchmal werden sie mit Sinti und Roma bei uns verglichen, wobei aber die Travelers kein ja richtiges Volk sind, keine Ethnie. Woher sie stammen, ist unklar. Das liegt Jahrhunderte zurück und wird meist auch nur vermutet. Eins dagegen scheint aber klar zu sein. Viele von ihnen sind wahnsinnig tolle Musiker, Folkmusiker. Und ja, auch einige der Levelers haben sich mal eine Zeit lang den Travelers angeschlossen. Simon, der Gitarrist, schrieb einen Song über den Umgang der Polizei mit ihnen. Battle of the Beanfield, geschrieben von Chadwick Cunningham, Heather Savink und Simon Friend. Die Rechte an der Aufnahme haben Warner Brothers und am Song Universal Music, Text und Gesang von Simon. It seems they were committing treason by trying to live on the road. Anyway, die enge Bindung an das Leben, an die Kultur der Travelers war sicher, man könnte sagen, sowas wie eine Grundvoraussetzung, was die Ideologie betrifft. Aber auch die Erfahrungen aus den 90ern haben eine Rolle gespielt. Die Levelers hatten bei verschiedenen Festivals gespielt, hatten Kontakt zu Managern, zu Bookern. Nur damit war es möglich für die Levelers, ihren Traum auch zu verwirklichen.
So we basically just got in touch with all our old friends who knew how to organize that kind of thing. And all the new friends we'd made playing the big, you know, the Glastonbury's and stuff like that. And, you know, we just pulled it all together between the new people, you know, getting all the best sound equipment and stage and stuff, and the old people who knew how to manage everything and make it work and have it like an old school festival, because we didn't want it to be like the big corporate festivals that we'd grown to hate. We wanted it to be like the ones we went to when we were young, that were a bit more chaotic and anarchic, basically.
I just wondered, how do you make money with it?
Makes money, but what we do is we've never taken any money out of it ourselves. It rolls over. So the festival every year makes a bit more money. Every year, all that money rolls over to the next year. Basically means everything gets put back into the festival. The festival's not going to get any bigger than the 20,000 it is already. So we're not going to have any more people at it. But we can just make things better for those people that do come. Every year we can afford to get slightly, you know, bigger bands. We can expand the festival site so there's more room for all the people and stuff. So no, it's just kind of takes care of itself, really, with a bit of management. You know,
what was actually your job? Was it in the beginning, and what is it now?
Same as it always has been. Mine's like site artwork and, you know, the visual aspect of it.
So the whole festival has a lot of your artwork.
Yeah,
presenting.
Yeah, it has a lot of my artwork, and it has a lot of other artists that you know, fit the part, that look, you know, that are up, you know, that want to show their work there as well.
Is it always in the same place?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. You've booked it for some couple of decades, actually.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. We've put in infrastructure there now, so there's. So there's, you know, there's gas and electric running around the site underground. And we've built bridges there. We've built hard footing for the stage. And so I know it's kind of, it's an ongoing thing between us and the landowner.
Is it a farmer, actually?
Kind of. It's a kind of like a stately home, really. It's private grounds. Mm-hmm. So it's privately owned, but it is farmland, yeah, a lot of it, yeah. It's like Glastonbury, same deal.
So, das heißt, die Levelers haben ihr eigenes Festival. Aber weil die Band ja am liebsten alles selber macht, heißt das, dass sie alleine über die Bands entscheiden, über das Line-up, wer spielen darf und wer nicht?
Yeah, oh yeah, well, we choose, yeah, we do, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You alone?
Not me, no, our band, okay. Levelers does. Yeah. And then we do it with the guy that properly runs the festival for us, Dave, who's our agent. And he recommends bands, because we can't afford all the bands we want, for a start. So we have to take their fees into account. And what happens is we give a list of bands we really want to play. He gives a list of bands that we can afford. And then we try and make the choice from that, from those two lists.
So
doesn't always work out.
Ich frag Jazz, ob es denn auch ab und zu mal vorkommt, dass Bands für weniger Geld spielen als üblich. Bei dem guten Ruf, den das Festival hat.
Yeah, we have some of them, yeah. Especially American bands, you know, who will lower their fee to do it, because they like it, because it's not It's not sponsored. There's no corporate sponsorship, which is unusual in America. So a lot of the American bands come and they just love it because they're on stage and they can't see Coca-Cola and McDonald's everywhere. And they go back and tell their other musician friends that it's a great little festival. So, yeah, we have quite a few American bands come and they'll lower their fees if they really want to do it, you know. But, you know, often we'll pay full fee if we can. But sometimes people that we couldn't afford normally will drop their fees just so they can do it.
Also wir haben gelernt, die Levelers entscheiden selbst mit, wer spielt. Aber heißt es dann also, dass die Bands eher linksradikal sind?
Not really. Not really. I mean, they're bands that we like, so yeah, there probably is a bit of that. But we also have a thing called the Rebel Tent, which is like a political debating tent. And we have everyone in there from like the extreme left to the extreme right, you know, just debating their political view. You know, we get criticised for it every year, you know, because people can't understand why we would invite anyone of extreme right to come in and talk. But our thing is, you've got to listen to everyone. You know, we can't just censor these people. We've got to, you know, got to let them have their say, and then we can tell them to fuck off, you know. But yeah, so it has that political aspect to it. But you know, it doesn't mean to say that we like all the bands that play. It's not like the Levelers' favourite bands end up playing. It's you know, we just pick the bands that we think are going to be the best for the audience, give them the best weekend.
Nur zur Erinnerung, ich habe mich mit einem Bandmitglied unterhalten, aber mit dem Festival und der Organisation des Ganzen sind die anderen Levelers viel mehr als das. Die Band hat was bewirkt. Auf der Seite musicradar.com beschreibt ein Autor in einem Interview mit Leadsänger Mark Chadwick die Band als Leaders of a Counterculture Phenomenon, also Anführer einer kulturellen Gegenbewegung. Ich wollte von Jazz wissen, wie das sieht.
I don't know, we've always kind of shied clear of being movements and stuff like that because we always grew up in times of anarchy and we don't really like leaders and stuff like that, so we never set out to be leaders of anything, so not really, no, you know. We're just glad to still be around after 30 years. Glad people are still listening. And if other people want to make a scene out of whatever they're doing, then fair play, but it's not really for us.
Ich habe tatsächlich versucht, ein ähnliches Festival zu recherchieren, wurde aber nirgends fündig. Ich frage Jess, ist das das einzige derartige Festival weltweit? Er überlegt kurz.
Slipknot do one. Slipknot do a festival, big festival, which I think they're at. I'm not sure, I've never been, but I think they're the only... Oh, and Fairport Convention in the UK, an old folk band, they do one. Those are the only two bands I know that do festivals, I think.
But in the UK then? Or?
Well, the Fairport one is, that's Cropredy, that's quite a big festival. Slipknot is in America and Japan, and I think they do one in Mexico as well. But that's bigger, that's a bigger festival. Those are the only three band ones I can think of. And they're not really like ours either, but...
Yeah, what is special about your festival?
It's that it's not just about music, you know, it's about culture and seeing different things and experiencing different ways of life and some good music as well, you know, but it's about more than the music.
Ich nehme jetzt mal das, was die Levelers schaffen, als ein Role Model, als ein positives Beispiel, aus dem wir alle was lernen können. Etwas selbst in die Hand nehmen, Verantwortung tragen, andere motivieren, ermutigen. Das passiert mit ihrem Festival und ja auch mit ihrer Musik. Brauchen wir nicht so eine Haltung heute noch viel nötiger als vor 30 Jahren? Ich bohre nach. Trump als US-Präsident, Erdogan, Orban und. Sollten sich nicht noch mehr Musikerinnen und Musiker dagegen wehren?
At the minute we're all still moaning about the UK leaving Europe because we didn't want that. You know, we all voted to remain, so... That's the thing that's been annoying us the most lately. But also on a kind of smaller level, we're doing quite a lot of work with homeless people in Brighton, where we live. That's on a grassroots level. You know, we're trying to get trying to help people who are on the streets get a proper place to sleep and stuff like that. Me and Charlie, the drummer, having a lot to do with that. As far as what's going on in America with Trump and all that, I mean, fuck, I mean, that's too big for us to really fucking think about. It's just, I mean, yeah, I mean, we were there when the election was going on. In the lead up to the election, we were touring over there. And, you know, none of us ever thought he would become president because he was just such an idiot. But they seem to love him. But, you know, he's not for me, obviously, you know. But.
Dann war da noch das Referendum 2016. Und dann wurde die Band tatsächlich politisch. Auf ihrer Webseite riefen sie auf Remain.
We got heavily criticized for it as well. But we still have on our albums, when we re-release albums, we put the European flag on it, on the back of our vinyl albums. There's always a little European flag on the back of it. But yeah, we did try and encourage people to vote Remain, but we got heavily criticised for it. You know, people didn't like the band putting their saying political things. But we just went, fuck you. We say what we want to say. It's a democracy after all.
Die Band hat aufgerufen, beim Brexit-Referendum Remain zu wählen. Aber die Eltern von Jazz, heißt es, hätten sich anders entschieden. In einem Interview mit der Seite metaldiscovery.com sagt Jazz, sie hätten Leave gewählt.
I think they did, yeah. Do you know what? I've never really kind of confronted them on it. But okay. From what they said, from what they were saying, I think they probably did vote to leave. And it's just the only time it's ever come up when I've been visiting my family, there's been a lot of like gnashing of teeth. So I've always just let it go because I'm like, oh, I just want a peaceful time for these couple of days. But
so you didn't have an argument?
No, because we argue enough anyway. But I think they probably did vote to leave. Yeah, I think they did. I think they did. Shamefully so. There you go.
Politik und Kunst, auch das hat sich in den letzten 30 Jahren geändert. Das Damoklesschwert des Faschismus war, seit ich lebe, noch nie so präsent wie heute. Welchen Rat gibt es anderen Künstlern, anderen Musikern?
It's all you can do is use the platform you got, which is, you know, go round and say that, you know, when you're playing your music, you know. And thing is with us, I mean, everyone knows our standpoint because it's not really changed for 30 years. You know, we've always been on the side of the radical left and the side of DIY and the side of direct action. So, you know, and we've been on, as well as, you know, using our music as a platform for that, we've also, you know, been on the various demonstrations ourselves as people. Been in various demonstrations and protest groups and stuff like that, trying to change things, you know, one individual at a time. That's as much as you can do, really.
But do you think it's enough?
Whether it's enough or not is a different fucking thing. I'm going to say, yeah, it is enough, because I have to believe that, because if it's not enough, we're all fucked.
Und dann erklärt Jess, wie die ganze Situation in seinem Heimatland im Moment wahrnimmt. Meint, viele Leute dort sind einfach zu egoistisch. Das Große und Ganze haben sie nicht im Blick.
People are too worried about their careers, aren't they, to want to say anything, but we don't give a fuck, so we'll say stuff. But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it's enough, you know, because it's up to people to make sure they don't get fucked, you know. They've got to take, you know, everybody has got to take responsibility for their own action and, you know, get up and try and fucking change things before it does get too bad, you know, because it's not too bad yet. I mean, it's on the way, but you know, yeah. Anyway, I don't know about what things are like over here in Germany, but in the UK, people, you know, become very selfish, and they tend to just want to not think about the big picture and just try and keep the small picture nice for them, instead of, you know, thinking about the larger thing. And the thing is with us, when we were forming, we had no choice but to think of the larger picture, because we didn't have anything, you know. So, and we've always kind of stuck to that position, so it's kind of easy for us to think about the bigger picture, whereas it isn't for everyone. But But I'm going to still say that, because I have to believe it, that, you know, the world can, that one, that you, the listener, can change the world if you do something about it. And if there's enough people that do something about it, then things will change.
Und das steckt alles drin in den Lyrics vom Song One Way of Life.
One day, when I grow up, we'll be just like them. There's only one way.
Von den Levelers geschrieben, erschienen bei China Records 1991, später dann Warner Brothers. Die Songrechte liegen bei Universal Music, sie oben, diesmal mitgeschnitten beim Münchner Konzert. Der Song ist ein Abgesang an jede Form von Hierarchie, ein Glaubensbekenntnis an die Stärke jedes Einzelnen. Das ist ein Song, wo bei jedem Konzert jeder Konzertgast sofort mitsingen kann. Die Zeilen bleiben auch 30 Jahre später in den Köpfen der Fans. Jess hat am Anfang erzählt, er hätte den Text zu diesem Song geschrieben, aber nur die Strophen. Der Refrain stammt von jemand anderem.
Mark wrote the chorus. He wrote a bit that everyone remembers. I wrote the rest of it.
Would you say it's still true nowadays?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. That's just basically saying in two lines what I've just been telling you about there.
Auf der Seite trebuchetmagazin.com steht ein Interview mit Simon, dem Gitarristen und Sänger. Da vergleicht er die Situation in Großbritannien mit einem Polizeistaat. In einem der neueren Songs geht es tatsächlich um den Fall, als die Polizei mal das Umfeld der Band observiert hatte. Was meint Jazz? Hat Simon recht mit dem Polizeistaat?
Well, I don't really think the UK is like a police state. It's not that bad, fucking hell. I mean, it's more insidious than that. There's dark things going on there that only come out in the press very occasionally, you know, when it's something blows up and it's discovered, you know, there's been multitude of police breaking the law, you know, and without anybody knowing about it. But we only find out about that once every blue moon when something blows up, you know. So there is that going on, but I wouldn't say it was a police state. That's a bit too fucking...
Jazz hatte am Anfang unseres Gesprächs mal die Thatcher-Zeit als Dark Times beschrieben. Ich komme nochmal drauf zurück. Dark Times in Great Britain. Sind sie nicht heute noch dunkler?
Yeah, well, at least the same, yeah. In terms of, I usually judge it in terms of how many homeless people I see on the street. And now it is as bad as it was when the band started 30 years ago. So, yeah, I would say things are as bad, at least, you know. I'd like to think they're not quite as fucking bad, but I'd like to think people are trying to make some difference. But we will see.
Noch was hat sich in den letzten 30 Jahren deutlich geändert. Bands, gerade auch politische Bands, vermarkten sich heute ganz anders. Durch Social Media haben sie die Möglichkeit, eine größere Zielgruppe zu erreichen. Allerdings nimmt es ihnen die Freiheit, über die Inhalte das letzte Wort zu wahren. Ganz lustig war die Szene aus dem Dokumentarfilm A Curious Life über die Levelers, wo Jazz der eigentliche Protagonist ist. Jazz lässt sich in einem Handygeschäft sein erstes Smartphone erklären. Sein Umgang damit etwas befremdlich. Inzwischen scheint er sich aber mit dem tragbaren Minicomputer angefreundet zu haben. Als ich in den Backstage-Raum kam und ihn fürs Interview traf, saß er gerade mit Blick aufs Display seines Smartphones und schaute sich ein paar Clips an. Ich frage ihn, wie er denn mit Social Media umgeht. Auch das ist politisch ja immer wichtiger geworden, siehe Real Donald Trump und seine Tweets.
See, I don't really do social media. I'm not on any social media myself personally, just because my head can't deal with it. You know, I've got too much other stuff to do. I mean, the band gets involved. The band has like social media and everything. And Matt, who plays keyboards with us, he does the social media. That's his other job in the band, whereas mine's the artwork. His is the social media, so.
Bandgenossenschaft eben, wo jeder das macht, was am besten kann. Vor 25 Jahren kaufte die Band ein stillgelegtes Brauereigebäude in Brighton, unweit vom Strand entfernt. Sie nutzt es bis heute als Headquarter mit Proberäumen, Kneipe, Booking Office, das Label On The Fiddle sitzt dort, Pressesprecher. Jess hat dort Räume für seine Kunstaufnahmestudios, sind auch drin. The Medway heißt das Gebäude. Die Studios werden an andere Musiker immer wieder vermietet. So leben und arbeiten die Levelers. Und mit dem Begriff Levelers meinen sie nicht nur die Bandmitglieder, sondern alle, die mit der Band irgendwas zu tun haben. Die genauso wie die Musiker selbst leben für die Band. Kurze Anekdote. Als meine Band vor mehr als 20 Jahren mal sich in den Kopf gesetzt hatte, eine Tour durch England zu machen, war ich mit einem damaligen Bandkollegen auf der Suche nach Gigs in Brighton. Irgendwie hatten wir auch damals schon gehört gehabt von dem Levelers Haus, waren aber nicht sicher, wo es zu finden ist. Irgendwann hatten wir es dann aufgegeben, in einer so kleinen, überschaubaren Stadt wie Brighton, schon verwunderlich. Heute mit Google Maps kein Problem.
Medway is it's like an arts center really. It's a big old building, four story high building with a courtyard, two buildings, three kind of buildings around the courtyard. It was built as a brewery in the 1800s. And it's now an arts complex for musicians and artists. Levelers have a floor. We own one floor of it. Well, we own the whole building, but we have one floor in it, which is basically our offices and our studio, where we do all our recording and everything, and where the nerve center of the band is in our offices. And then we have a lot of other people. We have about five or six others. We rent the building out to people. So we have about five other studios for record producers and bands in there. And we have like artist studios, we have painters, we have clothes makers, set designers, people like that, animation company. And then we have a big we have a big bar where everyone can get together and just talk shit, basically.
I've also heard that you call everybody who works with the Levelers a leveler.
Anyone that's involved in making the records or involved with us, basically.
So that means it's not just the musicians themselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why everyone gets paid the same. See, it's a cooperative.
30 Jahre Levelers, fast immer in derselben Besetzung. Ein Gitarrist wurde Anfang der 90er ersetzt, ein Keyboardspieler kam in den Nullerjahren hinzu, ansonsten blieb alles unverändert. Muss man sich mal vorstellen. 3 Jahrzehnte, bei all dem, was in der Zeit passiert ist, einfach toll, oder?
Because we're all quite good friends. The main thing is though, because we know that the noise we make is bigger than the parts that make it. So each of us as individuals, not that great musicians or whatever, but when we all come together, it's bigger than all of us, you know, the noise. So, you know, and you've got to be, you don't get chemistry like that very often. You've got to really respect it. Plus the fact we really learned from the people that came before, like the Clash, you know, who split up because of egos and money and stuff. So that's why we decided really early on to pay each other all the same. No matter who writes the song, we all get credit for it. And just split everything equally so we don't argue over money, which is what splits most bands up. There's not any particular big egos in the band, you know, thankfully. So we all just kind of get on. I mean, we argue and stuff like that, same as everybody, but we're all aware that the total is bigger than the sum of its parts, basically.
Das Große ist bedeutender als die Summe aller Teile. Ein Künstlerkollektiv, ja, ein konstruktives Kollektiv, das Mut macht, das allen Mut macht, selbst ihr Glück zu finden. Das mit so viel Courage arbeitet, dass es in jedem Jahr schafft, ein eigenes Festival auf die Beine zu stellen. Das alles sind die Levelers. Meine letzte Frage an Jess.
What would you advise newcomer bands to do?
This is really easy. I always get asked this and I always say the same thing. Which is like, make sure you love what you're doing.
Yeah.
Do it because you love it. Because there's no guarantee you'll get anywhere. In fact, you probably won't. So just do it because you love it. Don't let anyone try and change your vision. Stick to your vision. If your vision is good, other people will appreciate that and they'll appreciate the fact you haven't changed it to try and get somewhere. But the main thing is, yeah, just to do it because you fucking love it and because you really have something to say that is tearing you apart, to say it, then people will like that. But that's why you've got to do it, because there's no guarantee you'll get anywhere. There's no guarantee you'll make any money out of it. There's no guarantee that you'll play to more than two or three people in a night, you know. So do it because you love it, and stick to what you genuinely believe in.
Das ist meine Aussage. Wer sich zum Ziel gesetzt hat, mit Musik Haltung zu vertreten in der heutigen Zeit, wer sich auf ähnlichen Wegen befindet wie die Levelers, kann vielleicht etwas daraus lernen. Wenn ihr überzeugt seid, dann macht es. Macht es jetzt und zögert nicht. Und wer weiß, vielleicht sehen wir uns ja dann irgendwann mal auf dem Beautiful Days Festival der Levelers. Das waren die Levelers aus Brighton in Großbritannien in Attitude, Musikerinnen und Musiker mit Haltung. Mein Name ist Nico, ich hoffe, es hat euch gefallen und ihr belohnt den Podcast mit ein paar Sternchen bei iTunes oder mit einer Empfehlung bei Freundinnen und Freunden. Wir hören uns wieder im nächsten Monat, dann treffe ich eine deutsche Band, in der Deutsche und Flüchtlinge gemeinsam musizieren. Und das absolut friedlich. Bis dahin wünsche ich euch bewahrt Haltung und stay attitude.